people saying that black people are inferior in their being, that non-whites are inferior, that's crazy. We've already dealt with this.
And it is surprising in one sense that it has happened, certainly in our circles, but it shouldn't have been surprising that with such a monumental movement as the woke movement, and for so long, of course it's going to be a backlash.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you were to do sort of Christian nationalism in review,
yeah,
right? You know, was it ever not going to follow this trajectory?
Yeah. Well, that's what's so
confusing. Didn't Jesus say something to the effect of, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?
Gains a Christian nation, gains America,
but
loses the soul. Yeah, what are we doing?
Thanks for watching another AGR episode. I have my dear friends in the studio, regular Dan Borvin from Christ Reformed Church in
Anaheim.
And
is there ambiguity about that?
I was going to say Santee.
We didn't move.
They're both the same name.
Everybody see, hey, Anaheim started the Christ Reformed thing.
Yeah.
And we've had many imitators.
Yeah.
No duplicators.
You're the original.
The OG Christ Reformed.
It is tricky when you, so the Pasadena United Reformed Church is not in Pasadena.
Right.
So don't go looking for that address in Pasadena. You'll be 45 minutes late to the service. And that's bad when you're supposed to lead the service. It's in Arcadia.
All right. And the Reverend Dr. R. Scott Clark.
Newly retired.
Officially retired. Relaxed.
Well,
look at him.
When does this air?
Well, we're going to try to get it next week because we're discussing some pretty important issues.
Yeah.
So.
So as of June 31st, July 1st,
you're done
officially.
So
retired.
He's still getting paid now. He's just not working.
Yeah, that's right. I'm getting paid, but I'm not. Yes, I'm not working.
But he looks true. Retired.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that everybody can send me all the things they want me to do. I have plenty of work to do.
Send him all your emails.
No,
he's going to do a world tour.
I've got.
Make up for lost time.
I've got lots of stuff to do for the HRA. I'm still working for the HRA.
That's so. Right.
Invite him to your church. He'll show up. Stay the weekend.
Don't send me your book manuscript. Now that you're retired, right? Read this manuscript. No, I've got manuscripts of my own to create and books. I have hundreds of books that I've been waiting to read.
Okay, so. Good. Well, today on AGR, we're going to discuss one of the important issues that we address at Synod and that many of the NAEPARC churches have recently addressed dealing with racism. And well, we've been discussing the term ethno-nationalism. It doesn't seem to be falling on favorable ears. Not among some.
The people who don't have any trouble with kinism.
Right.
Racism. So and then they're upset. That
how
we're
in the world?
Ethno-nationalism.
I asked Scott when he came in, did you ever see this coming?
Mm-mm.
Like, did you ever think, you know, I wonder some of the people who are very thoughtful on this and we're having to deal with this, I think we kind of stand back and say, what in the world? You know, we've been hit with a lot of different things.
Yeah.
You know? But this one just blindsided us. Like, and how many young men have adopted this stuff that you think, how in the world can they justify it from scripture? And it's not even Christian.
No, it's pagan.
It's pagan.
So the guy who clued me into this was Jake Metter, who publishes Mere Orthodoxy. And he apparently, and I didn't see the original offending tweet or post on X, but he apparently said something about the American Reformer and so they sent a demand letter, as I understand it, to him saying, you need to apologize. And so he apologized for not being clearer about why he said what he said. And then he provided a whole series of receipts. So if you just search for Jake Metter thread, right, it will come up because it's been compiled and it's pretty widespread. And that was it. Believe it or not, that was in 2023. And I read that thread where he, you know, exposes the connections between Reformed people, some Reformed people, small number, I think, noisy, but small
noisy.
Number,
yeah.
to neo-Nazism.
Yeah,
which
that's
is,
what we're dealing with.
Which
so,
is, honestly, the
neo-Nazism.
I did not sleep that night. I was so shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously we've always had a small number of neo-Nazis in this country. And it turns out, of course, that the apparently the people at Charlotte that everybody was all wound up about were funded by the SPLC. Yeah.
Paid actors.
Yeah. Which, you know what? At the time, I said, you know, I kind of kept an eye. We had a neo-Nazi in my hometown. And he was the, I don't know, the head of the sort of neo-Nazis in America. And it was a real scandal in my hometown that he was there. And then, like an idiot, he went to Germany where it's illegal.
Yeah.
And they arrested him and put him in jail. So then, okay, that's it. It's all done. And I just didn't think.
We had Illinois Nazis in the late 70s when they marched in Skokie.
Exactly.
I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great
blues. As the Blues Brothers said.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis. That's right. I love that. That's one of my favorite drops for the Island Guest. And so now there's a conference, as we are talking, there was just this big conference in
Utah,
where apparently 1,500 people came, and there were exhibitors that were at this conference who were openly promoting Nazism and Hitler.
Right.
And we're all on X, and we're all seeing this virulent, ugly stuff being published by people. You know, Spengler published a picture of himself saying, you know, something about ours is a white church. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just crazy stuff, you know, crazy anti-Semitic stuff, Jewish conspiracy theories.
And it's in our house.
I had to write a two-part piece explaining to Joel Webben and who's the other guy that used to publish Protestia?
I don't know.
Whatever that.
Oh, yeah, the guy that got in trouble.
Yeah, whoever that guy is. To explain that and to defend the proposition that Jesus is a Jew, because they were denying. Isn't that crazy? So this is my thing now. This is what I know you're worried. You nuts are worried about that. You think the Jews are in charge of everything. You're partly right, partly wrong. You're wrong that the Jews are in charge of everything. No, but there is a Jew who is secretly in charge of everything, and his name is Yeshua, right? Jesus of Nazareth.
Raised from the dead.
That's right. Yeah. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming back, right? And every knee is going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess that Joshua, is Lord.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Right? And you're going to bow your knee to that Jew.
Yeah.
So you better do it now, because you're going to do it sometime.
No, it's a serious deal.
Right? I mean, and if you deny that Jesus is Jewish, you're denying his true humanity.
That's right.
And you're a heretic. And which means you're not a Christian, which means you're on your way to hell.
Yeah, right? This is very serious business.
Yeah.
And
I mean, people saying that black people are inferior in their being, that non-whites are inferior. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. We've already dealt with this. It's unbiblical. It's ungodly.
And it is surprising in one sense that it has happened, certainly in our circles, but it shouldn't have been surprising that with such a monumental movement as the woke movement, and for so long, mm-hmm. of course reaction, it's going to be a backlash.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no one should have been surprised there was a backlash.
Yeah.
And obviously the backlash is as bad as the original movement on the other side. They swing to the opposite side to hit it head on, but they created this.
And they become this, they become what they hate.
Exactly.
Right? So it was always crazy to say, right, the whole way that systemic racism was used to indict all white people as racists, whether you've ever done or thought or said, you know, anything racist, you, by virtue of your skin pigmentation or lack thereof, you are a racist, and you have to be made to stand up in a struggle session or, you know, some HR meeting or something and confess to things that you haven't done. Okay, that was always crazy. And I always figured that's just, you know, that's obviously absurd, and it's going to go away. It's a fad, a sort of madness. And so, you know, that was nuts, right? I mean, obviously, is there some sense in which, you know, there's racism baked into our culture? Sure. Ask a black guy who goes into a store. Ask him how security looks at him. right? We're white guys. Mm-hmm. When I walk into a store, ordinarily people don't look at me. I don't worry about security looking at me. I mean, when I was a kid, I did, right? Because they used to watch me because I was a kid. But I have black friends that when they walk into a store, they know, they see security following them. Okay, so that's baked into things in a sense. But to do what people did with systemic racism, to say, well, by virtue of what you are guilty and convicted.
It's pre-crime.
It's pre-crime. Yeah. That's right. Then that's un-American.
Right.
It's uncharitable. It was foolish.
And it's certainly not Christian. It's and not it was Christian. In Christian circles. It still is.
That's right.
And we need to condemn that too.
That's right. So that's wrong. But the reaction, mm-hmm. and by the way, so if when I argued with the systemic people arguing for systemic racism, they never said the things to me that are being said to you and to me and to Chris over the last few days.
Yeah.
On X. It's really vile.
It's vile. Atrocious behavior.
I mean, we can't even say.
No.
This is a family podcast.
Well,
This
is part of the problem is we actually try to abide by Christian principles and don't say those things.
Yeah.
And even speak of those things that Paul says people do in secret. Yeah. Well, you know, or open. But my point is you know, we've just had these NAPARC reports.
What's NAPARC?
Well, you know what it is.
I know, but you...
Are you struggling with acronyms too?
No, not everybody knows. You should tell...
This is going to be a rough one. I told you.
So here's what we said.
I think I'm on 4 hours. So yeah. I hope the audience doesn't
this
kill me.
This is the official statement of the URCNA. The 14th Synod of the United Reformed Churches of North America, joined with the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church, so our ARP brothers, Presbyterian Church in America, PCA, Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, RPCNA, and Orthodox Presbyterian Church, OPC. So we join with them and condemn without distinction any theological or political teaching which posits a superiority of race or ethnic identity born of immutable human characteristics and call to repentance any who would promote or associate themselves with such teaching either by commission or omission.
So that's... Okay, so I don't see how... I think that's a pretty clear statement.
It's pretty clear. So that came from the ARP originally,
from Ben Glazer. What is unclear about that in what we're trying to accomplish?
And now we have, what, 5 NAPARC denominations joining together in this one statement to condemn this stuff.
Right. Yeah. So there's a unity here of condemnation on this and a call to repentance. And this is important because I think what we're seeing online in response to this... is a lot of people calling into the integrity of what we've done, you know, making charges against us, saying the worst kind of things that could possibly be said about what we've done as if we're the bad guys on this.
One of the most irritating, and I probably shouldn't admit this, but one of the most irritating things that these guys keep saying is boomer. It's like...
They've been saying that a long time.
I understand. And some people stupidly think anyone who's older than they are is a boomer.
No,
they don't even know what it means.
Yeah.
A boomer is somebody who was born between 1945 and 1964.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the Word of God says, if I'm your elder, right, you should listen to me. I might be wrong.
Right.
But you should listen to me because right. As a boomer, I was thinking about this stuff before you were born.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
I remember when black people couldn't drink out of the same water fountain that I could. Now, that wasn't legally the case where I grew up, but segregation certainly was the case where I grew up. I lived through busing. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Boomer is anyone who just disagrees with their narrative.
Yeah. And so that's just a stupid thing to say.
It's a stupid thing.
Which is why it's irritating.
Yeah.
And here, and by the way, this sort of racialization of politics has gotten so bad that there are young men, and I don't know how large this movement is, but I've seen it on X and I've seen it other places. I addressed it a little bit when I was dealing with Webin and all of that on whether Jesus is Jewish, right? Who are becoming pagans. And they're saying Christianity is a religion for weaklings.
Yeah.
Right? And so they're saying the very kinds of things that Paul is addressing in 1 Corinthians. They're abandoning Christianity in favor of medieval Nordic pagan religions.
Odin worship.
Yeah, Odin worship.
Yeah, it's
so
crazy. Yeah.
So they're becoming overtly pagan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole behavior is
that's
pagan.
Really bad. And it is. You know, so if you're one of those neo-pagans, you are on your way to hell.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
This is not...
You need to repent and believe in Jesus.
We have to call... This is what I think is important. We can make these statements, but I put a comment up saying, listen, I saw some of the things said against our ministers, faithful ministers in our federation.
Really horrible things.
Really horrible. I couldn't even repeat them here. I won't repeat them here. Yeah. Just suffice to say, it was that bad.
It was godless.
And it's one
stuff.
Thing for these anonymous guys to say stuff. I mean, who cares what they say? But when other pastors are publicly...
Bearers.
Yeah, pastors and elders... criticizing publicly, condemning, denouncing, whatever, violating the Ninth Commandment against other ministers. To me, that's really concerning. I don't care about anonymous accounts. Who cares? They're meaningless. But when it's other pastors, that's what I thought I would never see.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, these, I'm ambivalent about anonymous accounts, but one of the things I don't like about them is that they're not accountable for the horrible things that they say.
Right.
And what I find is that when I ever talk to these people directly or personally, they're not so macho, mm-hmm. not so rough.
No, they're very thin-skinned.
Yeah.
If you challenge them, there's a bully technique to this whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, being bullied.
I get why people do anonymous accounts, right? Canceling is a thing.
Yeah.
At least it has been a thing.
And there's a great history of anonymous free speech, you know, gadfly activity.
And the concerning thing is that it's not like, so we're all United Reformed ministers, and it's not like we haven't had or don't have this stuff in our own churches, right? We had a guy in Utah who was saying terrible things under an anonymous account, and he got outed. Somebody figured out who he was, and his church found out about it, and he was disciplined.
Wow.
So that's very encouraging.
Well, that's what I want to say.
And what's discouraging is he was impenitent, and he's still impenitent.
We have to move to exercise the keys of the kingdom on this stuff.
Yeah,
it's that time.
And there's another guy, you and I, we won't say who it was, who mm-hmm. it is, but he got outed the other day, and he's in one of our churches.
He is
saying some
terrible things. So, yeah, I mean, I said if you're basically trashing our pastors and saying the things that you're saying, it is time we have the responsibility. Even our own statement, which I want to go through a little bit, calls us and says explicitly that we condemn and we call to repentance.
Yeah.
So that means that is tied to the keys of the kingdom. It is our responsibility to exercise the keys of the kingdom against these views that are not just simply erroneous, but that are anti-gospel.
That's right.
They assault the heart of what we're trying to accomplish in Christian ministry.
It's not woke.
I'm waking up.
Yeah. No, that's good. It's not woke to affirm the word of God, right? Genesis 1:26. This is basic mm-hmm. Christian doctrine. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, or in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Human beings are made in the image of God. All human beings are made in the image of God. And that's a basic tenet. And you know people are in trouble, right, when they have to start figuring out ways in which, well, this race, mm-hmm. and I know that's a disputed term, but this race or this ethnicity, this skin color, that those people are not mm-hmm. Truly image bearers, right? Which is a thing in our history. We denied, people denied, Christ-confessing people denied that Africans were truly human. We were having this stupid argument. I had somebody ask in the comments box on the Heidelblog about the curse of Ham. So I had to produce a bunch of documentation about the curse of Ham. That's an abuse of Genesis 9. That mm-hmm. the point of Genesis 9 is not to say that Africans are cursed because of Ham. I mean, that text has nothing to do with that. That was always an abuse of the word of God. But we're actually having to have these kinds of discussions. And this guy, then this person came back and said, well, you know, kinism has a lot of baggage, but I think my child should only marry people of their own tribe, because, and he gave a bunch of practical reasons why. And I said, brother, that's kinism, mm-hmm. yeah, right? Mm-hmm. That's the baggage,
yeah.
right?
Well, I've said before, have you ever done one of these genealogy tests?
Yeah.
Nobody's pure.
Exactly.
Like, it's astonishing what you find out about yourself. I won't do it.
You know, my father-in-law was like 7% African yeah. or something. I mean, we're all mongrels and mutts.
Yeah,
it's right. crazy.
And who cares? We all go back to Adam anyway. That's why exactly. the whole race thing is ludicrous.
We have
There's
one
race.
Father.
Yes.
That's right.
It's ludicrous even to divide this way.
Well, that's right. I mean that's why there's ambiguity and problems with the whole category of race, because it was arguably invented to divide us up.
Right.
Right. And if you look at older texts, when I read the classic Reformed writers on this stuff, when I read anthropology, I don't find them talking about race the way we came to talk about it in the 19th century.
Right. Blame Darwin.
I think that's right. I think that's important because, you know, if you were to do sort of Christian nationalism in review,
yeah,
right? You know, was it ever not going to follow this trajectory?
Yeah.
Well, that's what's so confusing to me. Right. Why? You know, it seems as if a lot of the chatter online is connecting Christian nationalism with this race realism, kinism. And I don't understand why they must be united.
Well, I guess I would say what I was saying was, at least among them, so you have this conference in Utah where you would have those who say, I'm just a Christian nationalist, I'm not an ethno-nationalist. But they join together and they don't seem to, there's some, I agree with you, there's some out there who are just sort of classic post-Mills.
I mean, the guy who wrote this statement,
yeah,
Ben Glazer, is yeah. an establishmentarian.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a Christian nationalist.
He's not
so
of concern.
Why, but why
he's
does why do does that train, the caboose attached yeah. is all this racial stuff? To me, that's very confusing.
If you ever see NETTR, right, Netter, that stands for no enemies to the right.
Right.
So even though somebody to your quote-unquote right, I'm not sure that that's actually a proper analysis, but let's just go with it for the moment. That's just nuts. I mean, so anybody who's not a leftist is within the pale, even if they're a Nazi. And even if they're saying either that the Holocaust didn't exist or that it did exist and it was good. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Right? There's no way in which, by the way, if right stands for conservative, that's not a conservative view.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But judged by going back to Edmund Burke, if Edmund Burke is the father of modern conservatism, to be a conservative in that sense is to be against the French Revolution. So the people who are saying, you know, we need to get rid of all these people who don't look like me, mm-hmm. that has more to do with the French Revolution than mm-hmm. it does with Edmund Burke. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of really dumb ideas circulating under this banner of no enemies to the right. That's mm-hmm. no, the Word of God is our standard. The confessions of the church are you know, subsidiary standards. No, the culture war, however important it may be, and I think there are ways in which the culture war is important. I'm not absolutely opposed to it, mm-hmm. but we have to prioritize. What was that tweet, that post from that guy?
Yeah, you mentioned one yeah. on the way in.
So read that one, because I think that's... was pretty,
talk amongst yourselves. It's going to take me a minute to find it.
yeah, what did he say? Something about Moscow and the penal...
Here we go. The worst part of the CREC, you want to try that acronym?
Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches.
You messing with
yeah,
me.
Don't, yeah,
wasn't
don't...
Wasn't it originally Confederation?
It was originally Confederation, yeah. And then they decided they didn't want to identify as Confederates, even though... A lot of those guys.
So speaking of Confederates, so last week at Synod, a guy told me I looked like Ulysses S. Grant.
And previously, you know, that beard.
You kind of do.
Previously, I've been told I look like Stonewall Jackson.
Stonewall Jackson.
No, maybe
Stonewall.
Well, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm deciding I'm going to be a bivocational minister, and I'm going to do Civil War reenactment.
You could.
And I can play both
sides.
You
could put on those hats. Dude, that'd be amazing.
No, you kind of have a
He was from Illinois. I'm from Illinois.
Yeah, you Grant. Have a, you, I can see that. Yeah. No, you don't look like Stonewall at all. You, whoever said that doesn't know the 19th
century. That was Jim Cassidy called you that.
So the worst part of the CREC is denial of penal substitutionary atonement, not their stand on the culture war.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, not their stand on the culture war.
Yeah.
So they deny penal substitutionary atonement, but they're pretty good on the culture war.
And we don't even know that that's even true.
I'm not sure.
There are a lot of criticisms to be made of the CREC, but I've never seen any evidence that they're soft on the atonement.
I think it would be better to say that some, maybe many in the CREC deny justification by faith alone.
Yeah, or at least
ambiguous.
They're unclear about it.
Yeah, and tolerant of gross error. That's certainly true.
Yeah.
But so win the culture war and lose the soul.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No thanks.
I mean, didn't Jesus say something to the effect of, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?
Gains a Christian nation, gains America, but loses the soul. Yeah, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I mean, this is just basic biblical truth that we're dealing with here.
What I'm concerned is that because you mentioned these people are loud and obnoxious online, that we're being sort of desensitized to the whole thing, and we think this behavior is okay. We're not doing anything about it. And the sort of vicious assaults that come all day long against those who believe that God created man good, and that our whole mission in the gospel ministry is to bring in all the tribes, tongues, and peoples and nations together, and that it's a healthy thing for the church to reflect what the new heavens and new earth will look like, right? So I guess what I'm saying is we're going to have to be courageous to stand up to this and discipline if we're going to make any real progress in it.
Yeah. And that's why, again, I don't worry about the anonymous guys online. Joe Rogan, I think, had the best statement with online trolls. You know, as you're walking down the street and homeless guy yells at you crazy stuff, do you pay any attention? Of course not. Well, that's how we should treat most people on social media. Mm-hmm. Just ignore them. Again, that's why I'm more concerned about the pastors and elders who are saying these things, and also the members in our churches. As you're saying, if we do see this in our churches, we do need to exercise the keys of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And discipline, by the way, is not for punishment.
Right.
It's for correction.
Yes.
So when people come under discipline, so when this guy in Utah was disciplined by the URC congregation, I think in Boise, but I don't know which one, the goal was to restore.
Right.
The goal was to bring him to repentance.
Right.
And that's still the goal.
Absolutely.
Is that somebody would recognize their sin, see their sin, be stricken over their sin by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and turn away from it, which is what repentance is, embrace Christ and be restored to the church. This isn't about winning. It's not about politics. This is an act of love by the church.
That's important because one of the things that's been said along the way is that you have all these angry young men.
Yeah.
And all you guys do is sit and throw fire at them and don't do anything to help them. Well, if you're believing things, teaching things, that are against the word of God and that is harming the church of Jesus Christ, the purpose of discipline has the aim of restoring and bringing about true repentance.
Yeah.
And that's an act of helping these people.
Yeah. And instead,
that's a really good point. We have to remember.
Instead of spending all your time going down the internet rabbit hole on, Discord sites or whatever, or 8chan, 4chan, please don't be on those places, or Reddit, right? Necessarily. I'm not saying there's not anything.
Well, Reddit's for the lefties.
Yeah.
4chan's
There's a lot of right-wing stuff on Reddit.
Oh.
So I quote unquote right-wing again.
I thought they all got kicked off.
or on X, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever, Instagram, watching crazy, videos and stuff that are wrong and full of, half-truths and lies and stuff. Why not talk to actual human beings like elders and pastors and say, I'm angry. I can't get a job. And I feel like everything's stacked against me. All right. let go to lunch, have that conversation and say, all right, I understand you're angry and maybe your feelings are justified, maybe they aren't, but what do you do about that? Mm-hmm. Right? I know, I understand that in this economy, it's hard and jobs are going away. Jobs that existed 6 months ago, right, don't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. That's scary and that's challenging and that's difficult. But blaming whole groups of people and making them the source of all your troubles, mm-hmm. that's just foolish.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's Congress.
but even if it, and to the degree it is Congress, right? I feel your pain. I just tried to open a savings account for the HRA, right? Anyway, Congress made that very difficult. So Congress is, doing dumb things that's making your life more difficult. All right, well, now what?
Right.
You're not going to change Congress.
Right. Get over it, move on.
You've got to figure out
what
you're going to do.
Yeah.
And the great thing about being in America is you have alternatives.
Right. And that's what's been so great about seeing all these foreign soccer fans come.
Yeah. Discovering the wonders of America.
Freedom.
Biscuits and gravy.
Yeah. Yeah. And they love it here. So
watching Englishmen.
Yeah. It's not perfect.
Watching Englishmen eating biscuits and gravy is a lot of fun. They don't, because to them, what we call biscuits are scones.
Right.
Right. When I say.
But scones and Southern style biscuits.
Not quite the same.
Never the twain shall meet.
That's the only category they have.
Scones are better for playing hockey than
yes,
for pouring
right.
gravy over.
And they don't really know what we call gravy. They don't know right. what that is.
No. Their gravy's brown and runny.
Yes, they don't.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have any flavor.
Right. So. But we should say.
The Englishmen are not used to flavor. This is the thing that stuns them. It's true. Ribs, barbecue, American hamburgers doesn't exist. You want to blow their mind? Give them a bottle of Mountain Dew. I just saw that video. It's illegal. In parts of Europe.
It probably should be.
It probably should.
This is like
too much flavor.
It's toxic, man.
Anyway.
But we should say we have, as a whole, we have not done the best job in discipling young men.
That's right.
And we can do better.
We need to be intentional.
We should clean up our own house and so that these guys don't spin out into these radical groups. We need to do better at discipling young men and to direct their energies
right.
toward positive things, not toward destructive things.
I think that's exactly right.
But I think the appeal is, listen, you guys aren't doing anything. Everything's falling, going to hell in a handbasket. You've got to do something to stop and curb what is wrecking our whole culture and wrecking our nation. And you R2K guys just sit around and, do nothing while we're doing something. And there's the false illusion. They're not doing a thing.
No. I mean, griping with a bunch of guys on Discord isn't doing anything.
No.
Right?
You haven't accomplished one thing.
No.
Except form your own mind and shape your own mind in a way that's harmful to you.
Well, that's right. And we've seen concrete evidence in the NAPARC world of what happens when you sit around in an online group and mutually reinforce how you're a victim and everybody's against you. Mm-hmm. One kid, shot up a synagogue and another young man tried to murder the president of the United States, mm-hmm. right? And these were guys in good, solid Reformed churches. I saw some people trying to blame the congregations, which is outrageous. Mm-hmm. These were good families, good congregations, and, I don't know what the, I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't know what the mental health of these young men was, or is. One of them I know, at least. I don't know about the most recent case, but my understanding is that the first young man is still impenitent. He's in federal prison and he's still impenitent. Mm. So, which is amazing. So fathers, you need to invest in your sons.
That's right.
You cannot turn them over to the internet to raise them. Mm-hmm. And in our churches, if we have fatherless sons, now these two boys had fathers, but I'm not blaming them, right? Mm-hmm. The internet has caught a lot of us off guard, right? Who knows what your kid is watching or reading? Is your 12-year-old kid walking around with a $700 iPhone, that connects him to everything and everyone in the world. So that's crazy.
So the same catechizing
yes.
of even a radicalism in that certain way is yeah. happening even in this movement, and they don't realize they're being catechized too.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Into a certain kind of radical behavior that they don't even see. It's like, and it's kind of tone deaf, right? So you can hear them say these things and they don't even realize they're making their own case yeah. in some ways, because everything they're saying is indicting them as behavior that is contrary to Christianity.
Right. And I think one thing we need to do with young men is to give them more responsibility. Yeah. Even in the church, we see this extended adolescence
yeah.
that goes all the way to late 20s, early 30s, these young men living at home.
The death of the summer job and yeah. the death of the part-time job, and that's not the fault of the young men.
No, it's hard to get.
Yeah, that's the fault of a $20 an hour minimum wage.
And
if I'm an employer, I'm probably not hiring a 14-year-old kid at $20 an hour.
Right.
So really hard to get.
When I was a kid, you know, I delivered newspapers. I went door-to-door selling, vegetable seeds. I washed dishes from 4 to midnight. Fridays and Saturdays. I was a lifeguard. I taught swimming. I did all kinds of part-time jobs through college. Mm-hmm. Anything to make a buck, anything within the
yeah.
limits of the law, the moral law, to make a buck so I could eat
yeah.
and pay my rent. And that's so I think a lot of young men have just not had to deal with that reality.
Yeah.
And I was made to grow up pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think that was good.
Yeah.
I mean—
And we shouldn't have the same cultural expectation. You know, I think the average age of marriage now is like 30 years old
yeah.
in this country. What are we doing? Even in Reformed churches, you see later and later, get married at 20, get married at 22, having kids. Yeah,
Charlie Kirk was right about that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think I saw a stat the other day on that the women today, 30 years old and only like 20 to 30% are married by 30.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And that means the men aren't stepping up to marry these women.
No.
So
no, that's right. And it's complicated. I've had yeah. conversations for years and years with young men, right? I've been teaching young men in a seminary for 29 years. And I taught undergraduates for 2 years before that. And young men are in crisis about how to meet and talk to females. And females mm-hmm. are in crisis about how to find decent Christian men that they can marry.
Right.
Right. And so, I mean, it's a mess. And dating apps they can work. I know some wonderful cases where it's worked out really well, but it's also, you know, everyone tells me it's also frustrating and discouraging.
So I think we need to bring back arranged marriages. I'm all for it. So I have two daughters. Anyone out there?
I wouldn't appeal.
But the bride price I wouldn't is appeal very on the high. Internet.
Yeah, we need to be intentional.
I need like a whole herd of cattle. It's going to take more than just a donkey.
We need to. Somebody did offer 1,000 camels one time for one of mine.
See, that's entry. That's entry level. We'll start the conversation there.
Yeah, she was not interested. So. But we need to think about that. How can we help our young people?
Yeah.
And I think there are steps. You've been involved. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. we have young people's groups in the URCNA
yeah. Yeah.
and the Southwest. What's the group that meets at Palomar?
Reformed yeah. Youth.
Southwest Reformed Youth, yeah. whatever yeah. that is.
Right.
So there are things yeah. being done, but we do. And I do think young men have sort of been neglected in our culture generally.
Yes. Yeah.
For years and years, universities have been telling everyone who will listen that all men are potential rapists.
Yep.
And then you add the whole racialization, DEI and all that stuff.
The future is female.
Yeah. And all of that. So that now universities are, you know, heavily dominated by females.
Right. 60%.
Which makes it, you know, can make it a little awkward to mm-hmm. be a young man.
Right.
In fact, frankly.
But don't give up. Don't give up and join some radical group, fight through this and yeah. overcome it.
I mean, life is going to be hard. This is not the struggle mm-hmm. you're having right now when you're 18, 19, 20, 21. You're just getting started.
Right.
So, I if nobody's told you this, life is hard, right? And then you die.
Yeah. Right.
I don't mean to be discouraging. Jesus loves you. There's a church, there's a covenant community.
Right.
And if your nuclear family, you know, is unhappy and, you know, is missing the mark, you have a church family.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't, you know, my family life when I was a boy, it was not ideal. It wasn't Ozzie and Harriet.
Now you sound like a boomer. Yeah. Nobody knows who Ozzie and Harriet
are. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it wasn't
a true boomer.
I was going to go to Leave It to Beaver. That doesn't do any. Yeah, are there any sort of happy, healthy? What's the? Give me a show from the 80s.
Full House.
Full House. Michael Jackson.
I first thought the Cosby Show. We can't go there anymore.
You can't go there.
Family Ties.
Yeah, Family Ties. All so right. my family was not Family Ties, mm-hmm. right? It was pretty rugged at different times. But the Lord was gracious, and he sent men into my... I had a great dad, but the Lord supplemented, dad by sending, good, solid men in my life who invested time in me.
Yeah.
And the Lord blessed that. And that was a great blessing to me.
And that's important. We have so many young men who want mentorship.
Yeah.
And looking for advice, leadership from older generation. And it seems as if the fault is on the older generation.
I think that's right.
Not giving the young men the direction they need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At a certain point, we haven't given them the responsibility.
Right.
We haven't allowed them to take risks.
Yes.
And we got scared to death. We can't let our kids, go and play because right. somebody's going to steal them.
Helicopter parents.
Helicopter parenting because they, the media figured out, well, if we tell scary stories that may or may not be true, we can get people to click and watch. And so they created this culture of fear. And all of this is sort of boomeranged on us. And we've messed up the economy so that young men can't get, the work experience that they would have gotten once upon a time. So I understand that. But there are still jobs out there. You can go to community college, get a degree in the trades, by the way. If my advice is, based on what I know about higher ed, if you don't have a specific reason to go to university, and if you can work with your hands, right, learn a trade.
Yes.
Go to trade school. If you can fix things— Yeah, if you can plumb, if you can do, if you can be an electrician, if you can learn a skill.
That's really important.
That's super valuable. Yep. And you can turn that into a good career.
By the way, less people don't make the connection here. We're offering solutions to this whole thing.
Right. Yeah.
Right. We're offering real life solutions to make yourself actually productive members of society and actually make some accomplishment toward the good things you want to see happen in society.
That's how you change society. Yeah. Not by getting some online group that just yells at each other.
Yeah.
Be productive.
Go find a girl, right? And I don't know how else to say this. Don't be a weenie. Yes, she might turn you down. Guess what? That's not the end of the world. I got turned down, not very often, but I got turned down. Right? Mary Ellen Heckman turned me down twice. No, she was a sweet girl. She was in love with another guy. So, okay, I lived. It didn't kill me, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it left a mark. I remember. But
that name.
I went out with other girls.
Yeah.
And I saw the future Mrs. Clark talking to my buddy Bruce from high school. I didn't just wave and walk by. I went over and talked to them.
Yeah.
You have to go talk to a girl. Okay, I understand it's more complicated now and the rules have changed somewhat, but I guarantee you, girls still want you to talk to them. And you have to take a risk.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That is part of meeting a girl and finding a future wife is to take a risk.
Yeah. Right.
Being financially successful involves taking risk.
That's right.
Starting a career involves taking risks.
Starting a family. You're never going to be in the perfect spot to have children.
Don't wait till you think, oh, when I have $100,000 in the bank and everything's paid off, then we'll have kids. I'm sorry. That's probably not going to happen until you're in your 40s or 50s, and then it's going to be too late.
Yeah. Right.
Right? You might be able to father children, but it'd be a little challenging in your 40s. Yeah. And, when we were having kids, if you had a kid, when I say we, right?
Boomers.
Yeah, boomers. The Heidel wife. When the Heidel Frau was having kids, at 30, they were in a panic, right? A total panic.
Yeah.
It's like we had broken some immutable law of nature.
Yeah.
And we started late. We got married early, but we started having kids late. And that was our fault. Go ahead. It's okay to be poor and have kids.
Yeah.
Right.
You'll live.
You'll live.
You're not going to make any money till you're in your 40s anyway.
Yeah. And even then today, it'll still be hard.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the thoughts. We're already almost 50 minutes in, but we thought it was something important to address. And I made it through, yawned most of the time.
So, okay. He's fading.
I am fading. I am done. Thanks, you guys.